Hey, everybody, this is Jocelyn and Dr. Mari, and today we're going to talk about sexual intimacy, emotional intimacy, what the differences are, and sort of try and help everybody navigate the dating scene or relationships, the beginning of relationships in particular. And probably it's going to bleed a little bit into once you've actually had a relationship and been seeing somebody for a while, what happens as you are really developing intimacy. So to start, I'm going to have Dr. Mari explain a little bit of the difference between sexual intimacy and emotional intimacy when you first start dating somebody. So I have a young client that is just beginning to date somebody, and he is known to be a player. She's never had sex before, and she's been dating around and getting to know what she likes, and she's actually found somebody that she really likes. But here's the situation with him. He connects with her emotionally. When they're talking, he'll say to her, "I totally know what you feel. I can relate to that. We have a lot of the same backgrounds." And he encourages her and he supports her, and it's really drawing her in because there's a very warm, solid connection in their communication. Finally, he invited her over to his house and she started making out with him. And when he went to unhook her bra, she tensed up and she just wasn't ready for that. She wants to go slow. So she said to him, "What do you think about just spending the night at my house first and sleeping together and cuddling, you know, so that we can get close, I can get comfortable?" And he was really honest with her and he said, "Sorry, that's not my bag. I don't spend the night with anybody." And that told me that he had a definite line, that he was only willing to relate to her, get to know her, and there's a lot of seduction in that, and that he's willing to have sex with her and he's willing to be intimate with her in that way, but he isn't willing to spend the night. And so it's a very hard, cold line, but it said to me, "I'm sorry, but after we have sex, I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to be intimate with you." What happens when we're first starting to date somebody and we really connect on a date with them, and I know we project our ideas about who they are and they're doing that with us, and we each have our own agendas and everybody fills a void for everybody, and we think, "Oh my God, this is everything that I've ever wanted." And then we sleep with them and then it goes cold. And I know that the connection is very intimate when we're having a conversation and we're first getting to know each other, and sex does not equal that same intimacy. And so that's what I actually wanted to talk about and address with you today, so we could help people unravel the idea and understand the difference between sex and connection just on an emotional level.
So like in your example, there isn't any intimacy at all. It feels like it because there's this thing in the beginning of a relationship called seduction, right? And I didn't think you even used that word. Is that we're both seducing each other. You know, that's the art of getting into this romantic relationship. And that's not true intimacy at all, right? It's the beginning of intimacy because generally we'll start talking about our likes and our dislikes and our beliefs and all these things. And that's moving us into an intimate place, but we're not an intimacy. And I think that's where people kind of get sidetracked, is because they feel like, well, we've talked about all these things, we've been intimate, so now we can be sexually intimate and everything's good. And it's like, no, you've set the stage for intimacy. And then you skipped over the actual intimacy. You went to, you know, the emotional intimacy. You went straight to sexual intimacy, right?
Yes.
And if you don't have the foundation of emotional intimacy, sexual intimacy will never sustain a relationship.
So when somebody is on a first date and they really like each other because they feel like they're really connecting, is there any sort of litmus test for, is this person really interested in me, or are they interested in just having sex with me at the end of the day, telling me what I want to hear?
The litmus test is the word no, right?
Oh, God, that's simple.
How they respond to that word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really simple thing, but we don't use it. You know, we're caught up in the moment. But the word is no. And the response, if the response is anger or rejection, things like that, you know, harsh words, then that's what they wanted. They didn't get what they wanted and they're upset. If it's disappointment, well, you know, yeah, it is disappointing not to get what you want. So being disappointed is fair. Being angry is not. And so you get to see a lot about someone when you tell them.
You know, the thing I learned something about this as well. A couple of years ago, I had dinner with somebody that I really liked and we connected. We had a great time. But at the end of the night, I thanked him for dinner and I gave him a hug and I left. And the guy just turned off. And I thought to myself, I guess it was because he didn't think that he could get what he wanted. Maybe it wasn't, you know, going in the direction that he wanted. And we had spent a lot of time together, you know, really getting to know each other. And, you know, it's interesting. I never looked at it that way before. And I can also tell you that, you know, there was somebody else that I went on a date with recently, and he laid out three things that I thought really resonated with me. And number one, he wanted somebody that was emotionally intelligent. And, you know, I don't even know if that's a real thing, right? Emotional intelligence, I don't think go together, but I understand what he's saying. And he wanted somebody to have fun with, and that's important, you know, to enjoy the other person that we're with. But the third thing that he said was, I want somebody that I can develop intimacy with. And I thought that was emotionally intelligent because that's really real. Because intimacy is something that is developed between two people. And when we're first dating somebody, we're usually connecting with them, wildly attracted to them. We've got pheromones and hormones and ideas and projections, and we can slam ourselves into a relationship with somebody very quickly and have sex with them, and it can be off the charts. But that doesn't mean that we're intimate. It just means that we have connected with somebody and it feels really good.
Right.
So we got to the first part. The answer is say, you know, if we use the word no, look at the reaction of the person and you have a pretty good idea if somebody is disappointed or angry or, you know, reacting to you, right? And if it's a strong emotional reaction, pay attention.
Right. And the other thing is not only saying the word no to them, but sometimes you have to say the word no to yourself. And when you say the word no to yourself, feeling the feelings that come up with that. If it's, I'm never going to have anyone, you know, then again, you're not ready to have sex with this person because you're having sex with them for the very wrong reasons, right?
Yeah, and so, yes, agreed. Yes.
Sometimes it's the word no to yourself. Just take a step back yourself and say, you know, what am I trying to gain out of having sex with this person right now? If it's, hey,
many,
I'm just trying to
gain. Women jump in. Yeah.
Right. If I'm trying to gain a good time, well then, okay. Go for it. I'm not judging. But if I'm saying I'm trying to gain more intimacy with this person that I didn't have before now, or I want to be his girlfriend, or I want to be her boyfriend, those type of things, then that's when we have to take a step back and tell ourselves no.
And right, because if we jump in thinking I need to do this right for the other person, right, that's usually a time when you need to refrain and you need to discipline yourself to say no. Yeah, because that's usually
not for me. Actually, was discipline is that we have to have a disciplined approach to dating or any relationship for that matter. You know, so
it takes time to get to know someone.
Right, sex is never bad. It's just it's in bad context. You know, sex is good. It's just used in bad context, and that's when we get ourselves in trouble. Because that tells me that there is an emotional need that you're trying to get met through the activity of sex. And that's where we get in trouble.
Right. And a lot of people that are having sex in that way are trying to meet an emotional need within themselves, and they use other people to gain that.
Exactly.
And so we have to be really careful. Right. So we have to pay attention to ourselves and our own needs. And then it's also okay to discipline yourself and say no, and you learn something. And usually you walk away and you say, at least I didn't wind up with that heartbreak. I mean, you're going to be disappointed too if the person gives you a reaction that is less than admirable. So here's the other scenario. So you start out and everything happens really quickly. You might even say, you know, we waited 3 dates before we had sex. That's still pretty soon because you don't know somebody. Oh, but we've been talking every day for, you know, 6 weeks. You still don't know the person, right? You're in a relationship with them. It's 3 months later and it starts to go sideways. Everybody starts showing the dumpster fire that they brought to the table. And it's not, and sex usually is the thing that suffers because there's an emotional component that's happening with ideas about rejection or somebody not giving you something or you're not getting something and not giving something to them. And so that's why the sex part of the relationship usually suffers, because mentally and emotionally, the people are shutting down. So sex is actually very related to emotion, I think, right? And what we're getting and what we're giving. Right. That's the way I see it. And I notice that when a relationship starts to have problems about 90 days in or 6 months in, it's usually because now we're starting to see the real person, right? It's all starting to wear off. And in a situation like that, this is where people really want some help. Like, wait a second, I really like them. I don't want to lose this. You know, what I do, but we're not sleeping together. We're not having sex because he got really mad at me about this and I got really mad about this. And the next thing you know, we've lost the very essence of the relationship, which is communication.
You know, what you said was talking about really, when they get to that 90-day, you know, that time frame where they're really seeing each other and now the conflict happens, that is real intimacy. When I really see you and you really see me, that is intimacy. We think intimacy is the warm and fuzzies and the cuddling on the couch, you know? No. Intimacy is when I know you and you know me and I'm okay with that. Or I'm not and I tell you I'm not and we work through whatever that is. And so
warts and all.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a proponent of waiting 90 days to have sex, all these different formulas, but I am a proponent of saying, wait till you know somebody before you make a decision whether you want to be that connected to someone. Because sex is very connecting. That's like the seal on the letter, you know? And that's why it's so hard, especially for women, once it happens, to disconnect from it. Because it's supposed to be a feeling activity.
It is, because it actually, you know, somebody else's energy is mixing with your essence.
Exactly.
And that goes for a man too.
Absolutely.
Right? Like when a man is vulnerable and he wants to be intimate with a woman and he loves a woman, they know that they're mixing their essences. It's just that there is a different drive for a man than there is for a woman.
Absolutely.
I think there are absolute differences in that. And so you and I were talking about this for the past few months. We were talking about meeting somebody where they're at, right? And matching somebody's energy and being able to mirror them when we're feeling like we're out of control or not getting what we need from somebody. And so to show up and allow that person to be and to listen to what they're saying and to really understand that person. And we talk a lot about this in our podcasts. Know yourself, know the other person. Because if you're just projecting what you want, you're never going to see the other person. That is not intimacy. That's being selfish and self-absorbed.
Right.
When you're in a relationship, you are relating to another person. And when we stop asking for what we want in our need, and we listen and we pay attention and we let it flow, which is really hard because you have to be in a state of surrender, you really begin to understand the other person. And I mean, we've been talking about this now for like 6 months, you and me, as we have been developing something, right? And And I know that when I stop and I just take in a person, I can kick back and listen more. And this isn't just somebody that I'm dating, right? This is anybody that I'm actually spending time with, whether I'm having a consultation with somebody or you're doing a therapy session with someone, to really take in what the other person is saying. And what happens in relationships is we are looking at somebody to fulfill a need instead of recognizing that a relationship is something really sacred, I think, between two people. And it teaches you a lot about yourself. It mirrors you. And so intimacy is actually knowing yourself very intimately and allowing somebody to see that vulnerability, and vice versa. And it's scary.
Very.
It's easier to go, oh my God, we totally connected. I'm going to screw this person. And sorry, I don't mean to be crude, but I'm going to have sex with this person and it's going to be really awesome. And that's not intimacy. That's having sex with somebody. That's riding the wave of emotion.
Yeah, the right wave of seduction.
But it isn't.
Right.
Yes, yes, yes. And so if you were to give advice on this subject about, you know, so many people say, you know, my God, I got really hurt. I got wrapped up in the emotion. I know I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. And now I'm sitting here, you know, and sort of like the wave now spit me out on the beach and the surfboard hit me in the head. And here I am. And that person is nowhere to be found. What can you tell us to help somebody understand what to do with that energy so that they can pick themselves back up and they can continue on to find more of who they are and what they want?
And you know, you probably know me well enough by now that I would say that those are opportunities to understand self, right? So it's not about what the other person did, what they didn't do. It's not even about what the person who's the, you know, hurting is experiencing. It's about, how did this happen? What did I get out of it? What can I learn about myself from it? So if I go and I start really analyzing, how did I get into this? What were my emotions? What was I feeling? You know, then I can understand how never to be here again.
Okay, so let me back you up a second, okay? If somebody called me and said to me, you know, here's where I am, okay? He's gone, I haven't heard from him, but you wouldn't believe the things that he said to me or she said to me, and I believed her.
Yes.
And I got into it and I trusted her and I dropped my guard and I gave this person my heart. And now I'm sitting on the beach and I got, you know, hit in the head by a rock and the surfboard's broken in two. You're not listening to me. I'm hurting. Yeah. And we have to begin with the pain. So what do we tell them to do with the pain so that they can analyze it?
You know, the question is, what hurts? I know that sounds philosophical, but what hurts?
Usually it's the idea. No, it's the idea. Most people had an idea. And what happened was, is the idea was dashed against the rocks.
Sure.
Right.
Idea of what?
But so then you have to ask the question, what was your
idea? Yes. The idea of what? The idea of having someone in my life, the idea of finding the one magically without doing the work I need to do. What was the idea?
The idea was that I had found the person that I thought I was really in love with and I thought was in love with me, right? So now they're sitting on the beach and you're saying, okay, so the truth is behind this is an idea. So then what? Once we get down to, okay, the idea was they were supposed to love me. They said they loved me.
So then
they're gone.
I want to know, what's the fear? If the idea is they're supposed to love me, right? It sounds like I have a fear that I'm not going to be loved. Does that make sense? So if I feel like if I fear I'm not going to be loved, I'm going to do what it takes to make this relationship work right now. And I'm going to start doing things that I think is going to make it work to seal the deal with this person. Right? So then I get myself into the sexual relationship thinking that, okay, this person's going to love me because I'm, because I'm having sex with them, because I'm afraid if I don't have sex, they're not going to love me because I'm afraid I'm not going to be loved. Ultimately, that's the big fear. That's the true driving force in my behaviors. That's why I'm not patient. That's why I can't wait. That's why I believe everything they say and I don't even check it out to see if it's real.
Right. So let me stop you right there, because this is that was a really interesting point you met. Okay. So people say, but he said or she said these things. Are you telling me that I can't believe what somebody says? And you and I are both saying, right, we're telling you that. You don't know. People say a lot of things. People lie to themselves and they believe things. You have to take the time to know if this is really who this person is. And that takes time. That is where intimacy comes in.
Right.
Well, you look at their habits. Right. Their habits yeah. tell you a lot. Their right. actions tell you right. a lot. But you're so busy thinking, shove you in this void because I don't feel I'm lovable, that you don't see when the person ghosts you for 3 days and then says, hey, I'm back again, they may have another lover.
Or whatever, right? So right? when I haven't...
Or whatever.
Right, I haven't dealt yeah. with my stuff. I have no patience. I can't sit and wait for somebody. It's kind of like, this is my thought process on this. I have interesting analogies. But back in the day when you had a Polaroid picture, you had to wait to see what the picture really looked like. No matter how much you fanned it or blew on it,
right,
it took time. It took as much time as it was going to take for it to develop. And then as soon as it developed, you had a clear picture of what you just took a picture of. And so I think we're in a society, we're in the, what I call the microwave society. Everything's instant.
Yeah.
We don't put water on the microwave, on the stove and let it boil anymore. We have an Instahot. We don't cook our food in the oven. We just put it in the microwave and it's 5 minutes versus 25 minutes. But yet if you put it in 25 minutes, the same meal tastes better than if it was in the microwave, right? And so we're in this instant society that says,
It's taking the time.
Taking the time. But the only way I can have that type of patience is if I do the work that allows me to have the patience. Because then I don't get anxious in a relationship.
You're very right about that. And so it goes back to developing intimacy. And that's what really captivated me when this guy said to me, it's about developing intimacy. And I thought, God, that is just brilliant. For example, when you're cooking a meal with someone and you're not pulling it out of the freezer and shoving it in the microwave or the oven, but you actually have to take the garlic cloves, crush the garlic, put it in the olive oil with the salt and heat it up. There's something very magical that happens because you're in a creation process, right? You're creating flavor. You're bringing something out in the food, right? And you're using your hands, your mind, your energy. And when you are on your first date and you're believing basically what this person is telling you, and somebody is serving you the food or serving you the drinks, and you're not actually in the daily life-to-life grind, you can't know. And that's the thing I think that we have to understand, is the daily grind of life can make and create a completely different something than what you thought on your original first dates. And so we go back to self-love, knowing self.
Right. Exactly. And sometimes I think people get upset with me because I say that over and over again, but that is the reality, is that until we get to that place where we truly understand self and then love and accept what our understanding is, it's very hard to be in a relationship with anyone. So there's a saying that said, a right relationship starts with self. So that's how once you have a right relationship with yourself, you can have a right relationship with any and everybody. Now, that doesn't mean that any and everybody is right for you. It just means that any and everybody who's in your life is going to be right for you, because you're going to weed out the people who are not.
developing is really getting to know somebody.
Exactly.
And always taking the time to self-reflect on your conversation and check in with yourself to see what your inner feelings are telling you, not what your fantasy wants. And then so that you know that it also gives you an idea of what you're attracting. It also shows you where you are. And when you take the time, I think, to get to know somebody, it's going to make you uncomfortable. You're going to see things that maybe you don't really like. But everybody has their warts, right? And it's just whose warts we can handle or how we can help each other get rid of our warts, whatever that, you know, is. But it is about developing, and it's developing not only a relationship with someone, it's first developing a relationship with ourselves.
Right. Because, you know, this is, you know, it's probably crass what I'm going to say, but if you don't want to spend time alone with you, why would you expect anybody else to want to do that? You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you can't be good company to yourself, how could you possibly be good company to someone else? And it sounds simple,
yeah.
But that's the real.
And that's how dating works.
Right.
Right. That's a lot of times dating is about filling a void. Right, that you can't fill for yourself. But true intimacy is about knowing who you are and showing up and listening to the other person and the other person listening to you. And when you hear what they say and they hear what you say, you can develop a thing called a relationship. And it would be emotionally intelligent then.
Right.
Which sounds so clinical to me. I mean, when he said that, I was like, ugh, that's kind of clinical. But then once we actually began to have a conversation, we started to develop a rapport and listen to what the other wanted.
Right.
Right. And you can say to somebody, you know, I really like you. I like you as a human being. And whether or not this actually wound up going into anything that is a romantic relationship, I really like you. Or, you know, I'm really attracted to you, but I don't feel that thing. And then you can figure something else out.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you might have a sexual attraction to somebody, but you realize, you know, but you and I would not be good together.
Right.
You see,
exactly.
that's actually being smart about dating.
Right. Yes.
That is being emotionally intelligent. Yes. And so when we start dating, we are usually looking for the, oh my God, I am so attracted to that person. Right? You wouldn't believe the way that this guy makes me feel. I can't stop thinking about him. How would you tell somebody to sort of channel all of those feelings when you first start dating somebody or you first start seeing, you know, that overwhelming, oh my God, this is the person, right? And it winds up being a train wreck in 3 months.
Right. I mean, but you know, that definitely is dialogue with yourself and discipline. So you have to practice that before you get into it, first of all. You know, learning how to tell yourself no and things like that prior to moving into a relationship with anyone. And so when I get those feelings that say, oh my gosh, this is the right guy, this is it. And then I start asking myself, how do I know that? Like literally, how do I know that? It feels that way. And the feelings inform us of things, but they're not always accurate. Right? So I do feel connected to this person. I do feel close to this person, but how do I know? What have they done to validate my feelings? And that is not asking.
Right.
Watching what they do. Right. So it's kind of like this. You know, I jokingly say this, but I say this all the time in my sessions. I'll say, you know, what's important to you about this man, you know, about the man, your dream guy, before you even get, you know, in a relationship or even know this guy, what's important? Oh, it's really important to how he treats his mother. Okay, wonderful. So then you start asking, well, how do you treat your mother? Right? And if he says, oh, I treat her wonderfully, wonderfully. And you are in the midst of a conversation with him and you say, hey, so how's your mom doing? He says, I don't know. That's a conflict.
Yeah, I haven't talked to her for a year. Yeah, right.
After 2 months, you know, then you know, like, okay, he's not necessarily congruent. He's not, what he does and he says are two different things. So I have to be cautious about what he does and what he says. Now, it doesn't mean jump to conclusions and say he's not the right one. What it does mean is clarify. Like you just said, when you were with the guy about emotional intelligence, and when you first heard it, you were off put by that word. But as you guys started to clarify what he meant by that, you became a believer in what he was talking about. Like, okay, I get that. I can understand that.
Absolutely.
You test right. him to see if he's truly emotionally intelligent. Because we can all say really nice big words, but do we actually apply those big words to our life?
Yes, exactly. And I was also willing to take the time to listen to him.
Absolutely.
You know, when he would say, you know, so when people tell you something about themselves, I say, believe them, especially when they say things like, I'm not very good in a relationship, or, you know, I'm not a very good communicator. Believe them. They're telling you something about themselves. And it could be that they don't right. want to communicate, or they don't want relationships. And then they say, I told you this. And yeah, you know, this felt really good and we've been doing really great, but I really don't want this now that I've been doing it. So when you take the time to get to know somebody, including being 6 months into a relationship, you need to remember they're showing you who they are. This is the part about courting that's really important. And some relationships do go together very quickly, and people do really well together in that way. But I'm noticing that in this time of dating apps, and it's almost like speed dating, you know, people swiping through all these people on an app, right? That's, to me, that's like window shopping. And a couple of my friends said, we want you to get on a dating app and see what it was like. And that's exactly what I thought. I thought, this is window shopping. You know nothing about these people. You're communicating through a text message or whatever it is. You can't hear their voice or the inflection in their voice. You can't get a feeling of what this person is actually like. So you create this idea in your head and you show up. And you're either projecting that idea still, hoping that they are that and not really seeing who they are, or you wind up being very disappointed. And that's what dating apathy is all right. about. You know, I have many clients who have dating apathy there, and you hear it too. They're tired of it. And it goes back to what you originally said. When you know who you are and what you need and what you want, you pull to yourself more of those things instead of saying, I don't know. That's okay too. Go check it all out. But just remember, things are not what they seem. It takes time to get to know people. And so anyway,
Exactly. That's reality.
It is.
It takes time.
Yeah, it really does. But like you and I have said in previous podcasts, self-awareness is very important, because when you're aware of what you want and need, you can discipline yourself to say no, to know that if you take certain action that you know is motivated by, I need them to fill this void, you're probably going to be disappointed and get hurt. And if you say no, you get to really see who the person is. And if you take the time to get to know them, it does mitigate disappointment. And it can be hard, because you want to believe people are who they say they are. And I'll tell you, I have right. found, even with myself, I've wanted to believe, even with friends, that they are who they say they are. And then they show you something else. It's just who people are. But when you know yourself and trust yourself, you can forgive and love them, and you can maintain a friendship with somebody. So I'm hoping that we were able to give people an idea of the difference between developing emotional intimacy, what intimacy is, and what sex is. And sex does not mean intimacy. And intimacy, I'll tell you, right. intimacy is a very deep thing, because it's allowing yourself to be vulnerable. It's allowing somebody to hurt you even after you've gotten to know them. But that swings both ways. It's the same for the other person too. And so I think it's very important when we're in relationships to remember, you know, that when somebody shows us who they are and somebody is vulnerable with us, that we have to be gentle with them. And we have to be gentle with ourselves.
So there's no microwave relationships out there. There just aren't. Sometimes they end up working out, but that's not the norm.
Right. Relationships take time. They do.
Lots of time.
Yeah.
And that's usually don't have patience for. Yeah.
No, you're right. We don't have patience for it. But when we really know ourselves, it really helps to become self-aware, because you do attract to you more of what you want and need instead of, you know, just throwing it out there and saying, I don't know who I am. Just fill this void, because this is what society's told me love is like. And it's like, love isn't anything like that. Love begins within. So.
Right. Or I'll be who you want me to be until I can't be that anymore. And then when you find out I'm not really that, you disappear and I'm upset. And it's like, whoa, that was the setup in the beginning. You know, so let's just get really honest and real with ourselves. That we can be honest and real with other people.
That's really profound. Yeah. People a lot of times show you what they think you want them to be, right? Or vice versa. And we wind up being really disappointed, especially when we show up and we say, I'm all those things. And then at the end of the day, you crash and burn because you can't hold that up. And so first we have to develop that within and be that. And then we actually can attract that person. So then the relationship doesn't crash and burn. So, emotional attachment is not emotional intimacy. Yeah. All right. Dr. Mari, give us one of your golden nuggets before we wrap it up today on emotional intimacy versus actually physical intimacy.
If I can give one nugget of information, it would be to understand and learn what the word no means to self. And how to say it to others. And then you'll understand how to have true emotional intimacy and not emotional attachment.
And then what would you say that somebody could say yes to? So they say no is a form of self-discipline. What would be the yes portion of this?
The yes portion would be when I know self and I understand that I'm doing this as a extension of love for myself. Not to fill a void or fill a hole.
So it's saying yes to self, right? And
it's saying yes.
And it's saying no to a potential pain that is driven by probably an emotional vacancy, right? And that's something that we have to really be aware of. And, you know, women being really intuitive know that. And actually men do too. Men know when they should or shouldn't do something. And we all know when we are falling for or seduced by something and it feels so good. And we don't want to admit that, because we want to say, no, this is really love, but it's not. It's the seduction of the feeling of what you think is happening. So we have to remember that. And it kind of sucks because it sort of removes a little bit of the element of seduction, but it's a wake-up call because it helps us to not feel the pain and the crash and burn when it doesn't work out.
The interesting thing about that is that when you get to true intimacy and then you start adding sex, it is extraordinarily seductive.
Very.
Because you know this. And so I think some of it is that we're afraid we're never going to get to the seduction part. So we put the seduction part in the beginning because we just say, oh, if I get to know this person, it's going to be boring. I'm like, you don't understand, the best sex in the world is sex with somebody you know every inch of their body. You know every inch of their being.
Their mind, their essence.
That's true.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing their mind and their body and everything else around, you know, along with that. So most of us haven't gotten to that place because we haven't done it that way. So we have no idea that this amount of seduction actually exists on the other side.
Because you're in a place where you know self. And they know you and they know themselves and you know you that. And so when you come together, it is the actual blending of the two essences where it is so deep and it is so connected that nothing breaks that bond. And it can take years for that to develop, and we have to have the patience for that too. You know, you've experienced that. I know I've experienced it.
Right.
But it is some of the best relationship that you will ever have in your life. And nothing can ever take that from you. It actually makes you even more grounded when you've had that experience, because you know you can have it. You know what it takes to have it. And you don't need to jump and get involved with somebody too quickly and have it crash and burn, right? Nobody wants to end up broken and shattered. You know, we want to keep ourselves together emotionally, because we respect ourselves.
Exactly. And on the other side of it, you know, when you have, again, I'm not saying sex the right way in any kind of spiritual sense, but just in the way, the behavior that happens if we do it too soon, and we have these other needs that we're trying to get met, is that there's no shame, there's no guilt, there's no negative emotion after the sexual activity. When we have sex too soon, there's almost always negative emotions to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we then come out of our negative emotions to have another good experience with this person? Because we're carrying that stuff like, oh, I shouldn't have done it. And but did he really like it? I don't really know what he likes. All these different, or she likes, all these different, was I good enough?
I need to shut it down.
Right?
I need to pull back. I showed him too much. Yeah.
Hmm. Right. Those things don't happen if we do it on the other side of intimacy, because we know the person. We know ourselves. We know it's right.
Yeah.
We know this person really cares about us, and it's not, there's no judgment on all that. And even if they didn't like what happened, they would be able to say it, because we had that type of relationship that said, hey, next time, can you go right instead of left? You know, and we don't take it personal because we know each other really, really well.
And if it didn't work, and if it didn't click, you could have an emotionally intelligent conversation about the why and the what, and decide if you should or shouldn't be together, right? And you see what I'm saying? And so it really is about caring deeply about somebody and loving somebody enough to say, I care about you, I love you, and I want to help you through this, right? Even if it doesn't work, those are emotionally intelligent relationships. So I was really grateful that I went on a date with this guy, right? I mean, he gave me so much information, you know, and I'm glad that there are people out there like that, that understand it. So it was a very positive experience. So, you know, I anonymously say thank you to him, but, you know, and thank you for this podcast. I think it was a really great podcast. And if anybody would like to have a consultation with Dr. Mari or I, please go to my website at www.jocelynlive.com. And thank you for joining us today. All participants of the Jocelyn Live podcast have been thoroughly vetted and agree to discuss personal information on this podcast. Each participant is offered a referral to therapy if needed. No information given should be considered medical or mental treatment or advice. Thank you all for joining us. If you're interested in joining our podcast or you would like to participate in a podcast, please email info@jocelynlive.com.